John chapter 13 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1134. Page 1134, we'll start with the 36th verse. That's page 1135, isn't it? Okay. John 13, 36, and reading through chapter 14 and verse 3. We'll read these verses responsively, please. And may we stand for the reading of God's Word. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And let's pray. And Father, we need thy help. We need breath from heaven today. We need the power of thy Spirit. We pray that you'd help our spirits to truly be obedient to thy Spirit in the hearing and the doing of thy word today. Be of special help to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask a few questions before I pray and bring the sermon this morning. Do you want to have a proper relationship with your children? I believe in the next 30 minutes I can help you. You want to be a better school teacher? I believe I'm going to put my finger this morning on probably the thing that will help you the most, apart from prayer itself. Do you want to be an interesting person? I believe I can help you this morning. Do you want to be a good leader? By the way, everybody here is a leader in some respect. You may be a leader of your children, a leader of a group of men at work, a leader of a Sunday school class. Everybody here is a leader, probably in some area or to some degree. Would you like to be a good leader? Would you like to ensure that you'll never be a big shot? In your own mind, that is. Would you like to ensure against ever becoming a bore? I want to speak this morning on the subject, real leadership. Doesn't sound like it's a very intriguing subject, but you'll find the truth that I'm going to share with you is most intriguing if you'll listen carefully. Father, I want to be a help. That's all I want. You know, Father, it's been years since I asked you to help me preach a good sermon. You know that's the truth. I don't recall the last time that I asked you, help me preach a good sermon. But I beg you many dozens and scores and probably hundreds of times a week to help me to be a blessing to those who hear me speak, especially to those who call me pastor. Do thou today help thy simple, weak messenger to be a blessing. Please. Amen. It is that fateful night of the upper room. You know the story. Just a few minutes comes the parting hymn. Just a few minutes comes the lonely trip to Gethsemane. Just a few minutes, our Savior finds the disciples asleep when they should be watching. He can almost feel the kiss of betrayal now upon His brow. His hands are twitching because soon they'll feel the piercing of the nails. He has just washed the disciples' feet. He has just shocked them by girding Himself with a towel and washing their feet. Then He tells them, listen carefully, He tells them of a separation. He tells them He has to go somewhere. And they ask if they can go. He said, no, not yet. Not yet. Peter says, why can't we go? Jesus said, now you're not ready to go yet. And then He goes. But He says, before He goes, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now what He's saying is this. He's saying, I'm going a little bit farther than you can go right now. But in just a while, I'm going to come back and get you and bring you where I am. Look right this way, everybody listening. He said, I'm going to bring you where I am. This is the way He had always led. Now follow me, please. Boy, I tell you, when I beg God to give me a truth and plead with God to give me what you need, then see you looking around trying to find out what everybody's wearing, I want to grab you and say, listen to me! I got something God wants you to have this morning. You need it. You need it. He's always that way. Here's how He taught, and here's how He led. Now follow me. He'd go a little farther than they were. He'd go to a place they thought they could not go. And He would go farther and then come back once they had seen Him go a little farther. He would come back and bring them where He had gone. He was always going a little ahead. He was always going ahead first to show them it could be done. He tested it for them before they came. And He was patient while they lingered. Then He brought them up where He was. He never got very far ahead and never expected too much from them, just some progress. Now, let me show you. I won't act it out, but watch it here. This is Jesus here, and here are the disciples here. Jesus said, I'm going a little farther. You can't go yet. After a while, He brought them where He was. Then He said, I'm going a little farther. You can't go yet. After a while, He brought them where He was. Then He said, I'm going a little farther. You can't go yet. After a while, He brought them where He was. And that was His method of leadership. Now follow me carefully. He taught them that way. That's the way the disciples learned everything they learned. He did not lecture them on everything and then say, learn it. He taught them a little bit. He himself, though he had emptied Himself and become a man, Bible says the Son of Man did not know the date or the hour of His coming. He had emptied Himself. And in so doing, He would learn something, as it were. And then He would come back and bring them to Himself, and then He would go a little further and bring them to Himself. And by the way, He does that with every single Christian. Now listen carefully. This is a little bit hard to understand. Watch me now. Jesus uses the ACE method of teaching instead of the classroom method. Now what's the ACE method of teaching? Jesus knows that each of us is on a different level or unique level all our own. No two of us are on the same spiritual level. So, Jesus,
He empties himself and comes to me individually and learns again with me what he wants to teach me. So it is not only fresh to me, it is always fresh to him. Now let me say a few words about that. This is why young preachers are often so much more interesting than older preachers. Because the young preacher stays barely ahead of his people. It's always new to him. The other day I was preaching with a young fellow, and he must have been 25 years old, and he had just found out the week before what the word premillennial meant. Boy, he was excited. He got up and he said, "Blessed be God, I'm a premillennialist." I thought, well, good night. I've been one for 125 years. But he had just found out about it. And you know, if I'd have gotten up, I'd have said, "I have been for these many years a premillennialist." And that wouldn't excite anybody. But you see, that's one reason why a young preacher is more interesting than an older preacher. Because the young preacher, he doesn't learn what he preaches on Sunday. He doesn't learn it till Saturday night, 11 o'clock. I mean, boy, it's exciting. It's fresh. He comes and says to the people, "Hey, let me show you what I just learned." As a professor in a college or seminary says, "Let me show you what I learned 64 years ago." And that's why he's not exciting. You know, that's the reason I study all the time. I do not keep files of my sermons. Have none. I mean, if I wanted to find the sermon I preached 2 years ago, an outline, I don't know where I'd get it. It may be in Fibber McGee's closet in my office. That's that closet you open at your own risk. And it may be in there. It may be in my lower right-hand drawer underneath a bunch of other stuff. It may be at home in the basement somewhere. I don't know where it is, and I don't want to keep it. Why? I don't want to preach it again. You know why? Because, boy, I want to tell you something on Sunday morning. I want this just ahead of you. Just a little bit ahead of you all the time. I want to come to you and say, "Folks, let me show you what I learned this week. Let me show you what I found in the book this week." That's the way Jesus said. And that's the way preachers stay interesting. A preacher says, "I've seen him, boy. I've seen him. I saw a preacher that long ago in ordination service go to his files under O. It said O. And he looked on the ord. And he got, it said ordination service. And I mean the service, the organist was already playing. And he got that sermon out of that file, put it in his Bible, didn't even look at it till he got to preach. Well, we didn't get a blessing out of that. Why? Because the fella had nothing fresh. He had nothing new. He had nothing that he could say to his people, "Hey, look what I just learned." And that's what Jesus did with his disciples. And that's what Jesus does to you. Jesus goes a little bit ahead of you and says, "Now, I got something I want you. You can't go here yet." But then he brings us up to himself. And then we go a little, he goes a little farther and brings us up to himself. You know, that's the reason some Bible teaching is so dull. I was telling the preacher this morning, I thought about Brother Roloff when I thought about this. You know, I preach to Brother Roloff every January. See, Brother Roloff never outlined a sermon because he never had one to outline. He was sitting about right at there when he had a wall here preaching the morning we had 30,000 the first time in Sunday school. We had several preachers that morning. And he leaned over to me and he said, "Brother Jack, I got something never had before." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "Brother Jack, you'll be proud of me." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I got an outline." I said, "Let me see it." He pulled out a card about that size. Had 8 little words on it. Now, I wrote those words down. He preached for an hour and 40 minutes and never mentioned one of them. But I'll bind you one thing, Buster. We got blessed because Brother Lester always preached. Every night he'd preach on what he read that day. Listen, I preached with him at Dr. Bob Gray's church in Jacksonville, Florida, in January for many years. And you know what they always get in Bob Gray's church? Always get Genesis. You know why? He's reading the Bible through. And I never heard him preach a sermon from any other book in Genesis at Dr. Gray's church. I mean, He'd read the Bible and say, well, bless God. He'd say, and he took the blind man by the hand. Didn't take him by the foot, by the hand. And led him out of town. He said, got too many folks living in town. When he had spit on his eyes, he said, let's get more spitting on eyes around here. He'd say, well, bless God. Now, the truth is, he was fresh. You know why? Because he always served you the bread he cooked up today. Always fresh. That's what Jesus was. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. Can we go? Not yet. I'm going to go away. I'm going to test the waters. As soon as I get there, I'm coming back to get you. And I'm going to stay, listen, I'm going to stay just a little bit ahead of you all the time. And that's why he was a great leader. Great leaders don't stay light years ahead. Great leaders stay just a little bit ahead all the time. That's the reason Bible college is a dime. Dime! Got a bunch of dead theologians using the same outlines they used when Noah got off the ark. They're dead! Why? We started our college. Dr. Billings, he started it with us. He came one day to me and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I've never been so excited in my life. You know how Dr. Billings walks. He'd pace the floor. He said, bless God. He said, who's the outstanding theologian in America today? I called him in. He said, right. He sent word he wants to teach in our college. Boy, he said, think of it. Oh, Dr. So-and-so, if I called his name, everybody here would know it. He said he's the outstanding theologian, fundamental theologian in America. And he says, he sent word, he's interested in teaching in our college. Boy, he said, couldn't we have a great college if we could get him? I said, don't want him. He said, you don't want him? No, don't want him. Don't want him. Why? Don't you want him? I said, don't want any famous theologian teaching here. Want to get some young men on fire for God and make them famous theologians. One day a little guy came pastoring a church over here in Chicago with a handful of people. One of our young men here came to my office and I said, Joe, I think you'd be a good Bible teacher. He said, me? I said, you. Why, he said, well, maybe a Bible teacher? I've never been one before. I said, it's a good qualification. And in these years, in these 14 years of Hiles Anderson College existence, probably the outstanding young Bible teacher in America is Joe Cole. Why? Tell you why. Because you folks got to travel with him on his first trip through the Bible. And I'll guarantee you, but I know the guy, and he didn't believe I thought he'd ever be a Bible teacher. I know what he did. He got his Bible out. He said, I wonder what this chapter's about. He learned it. An hour later he came and said, let me tell you what this chapter's about. With his heart afire, and his heart burning, and his heart flame. Why? It's fresh. Just got it. That's what leadership is. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, look, I'm going a little farther. He said, I won't get so far away, I can't come back and get you. It's just one step. He said, I got a mansion for you. I'll come back and get you. He got from that mansion, and he said, I'm going to go forward to another mansion. I'll come back and get you after a while. I'll come back and get you after a while. He said, I want you. I want a young man up there in the balcony. Look at mezzanine. Look at me while I'm preaching. Turn around here and face me. If you're a college student, face me. I want you to hear me. This is no time to sit like you're on a sofa somewhere taking a nap. It's time to hear what God has to say. Jesus came along and he said, I've got something for you. You can't have it yet. Why? I want to get it myself. When I get it myself, and get this little father. I'm going to come back and get you. But I got to go prepare it for you first. That's why Bible colleges all across this country are dying. Professors got their old lessons. That's the reason school systems are weak. I'm going to tell you what I think. I usually do. Well, I'll tell you something. Doc, if I were an educator, I'd like to have a school system where, take the subject of math, for example. I'd like to see one fella start them off in Algebra 1. And the same fella take them all the way through calculus. And take the journey with them. All the way through. We got too many teachers in all of our schools studied the first year and that's all. It might be a good idea to have the history teachers next year all teach English. Mr. Wilhouse, I didn't major in English. Well, you can between now and next year. I'll guarantee you. Listen, I get so fed up with all this accreditation. You got to have 3 years, so many hours of this and so many hours of this. Listen, you ask me to teach Beowulf next year. Now, I don't know where Beowulf prowls, but you ask me to teach Beowulf or English literature, I'll guarantee you, you give me this summer, and I'll teach it next fall. And I'll teach it well. Now, don't ask me what we're going to study tomorrow. I'll get that tonight. I'll tell you what, it'll be a wonderful journey. And exciting. And thrilling. By the way, that's why the first child gets the best training in a home. Because mom and daddy stay just a little bit ahead of him. You know what I'm talking about. When Becky was a little child, infant, she was on a bottle, and I wanted to feed her at night myself, because I wanted to teach her the Bible. Of course, Daniel, Revelation, all the other simpler, but I want to teach the Bible. Now, here's what we'll do, and you know it's the truth. First child, get up. In those days, we'd get a saucepan. Turn the water on, the water got hot, put the water in the saucepan. Not that much in it. Then you get the bottle. And you put the bottle in the water in the saucepan on the stove. So as the water gets warm, it gets the bottle warm and the bottle gets the milk warm. And you stand there and you watch it and you get the thing and you pour it on your wrist. Been there thousands of hours, haven't we? Pour it on your wrist. And when it gets just about right, then you go to the rocking chair and take that precious little darling, put her in your arms, and sing. I was going to play the violin here. And I'm going to sing. I want music too, you know. And put her in your arms. And you'd hold the little thing and hold that bottle there. And you'd tell her about Jesus and sing, "Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock." And we'd sing. And then she would get finished and be a little bit asleep. And before you put her up on your shoulder and you'd pat her. And then you'd have yogurt all over your shoulder here. And then you'd gently take her and pat her until she went off sleep. And then you'd take her. And then what? Yeah, right. Yeah, you've been there, haven't you? Now, that's the first one. That's Becky. How about Cindy? Huh? She wakes up. Time for a bottle. Go to the refrigerator. Get a cold bottle. Get a pillow. Put it right beside her in bed. Stick your nipple in her mouth and go back to sleep. You can burp her tomorrow morning.
Now you know it's the truth. Why? That first journey, exciting and thrilling. Why? I got to go a little further. I'll learn. And you get that book and read measles. M-E-Z-U-L-S, measles. And you'd look up measles, measles. What? And you'd read it. What'd you do with the fourth one? Stick a stupid aspirin in her mouth and let her go to sleep. Why? Because the first one was an experience. The Lord Jesus comes to us and He's so wonderful. He comes to us and He says, each of you is an individual to me. And so in every case, I'm going to empty myself of my deity and come to you and learn with you. And I'm going to stay just a little bit ahead of you and teach you what I just learned so it'll be exciting to both of us. And when I learn the truth from God, God says, I say, oh Lord, isn't that great? And Jesus said, hey, that's wonderful. Just learned that yesterday myself. And that's the way you lead. That's the way you identify yourself with followers. That's the reason leadership fails. I've never enjoyed preaching like I enjoy it today. Never in my life. Never. You know why? Because I've never enjoyed this book as much as I enjoy it now. Never have. Why? It seems like to me, have you ever been fishing all night and never caught anything? Years ago when I had time, I took the deacons in Texas fishing. We went fishing all night and not one deacon or a staff member caught one solitary thing. I'll never forget, my deacon chairman was about to cuss. And he attempted to because he heard me do it. And he took his, he said, I've never spent such a miserable night in my life. Grabbed his pole, took off down it, and I said, hey man, you've got a fish on the back of your pole. Don't even call on that long. But have you ever gone, I remember one time, and you won't believe this, but it's true. I remember one time, years ago, by the way, we were coming from Garland to Hammond, Pastor. We stopped at a little place called Lake Tenecomo down in Missouri. I got on a boat by myself. Went out there and couldn't catch a thing. Went back the next day, same spot, and man, those crappie were biting. Good night. And I only had 12 minnows. That's all I had. 12 minnows. They were biting so much, they were jumping, begging me, saying, please catch me. And I got where I cut those minnows in half. Weren't even alive. I'm not kidding you. I put bread on the hook. I put my sandwich on the hook. I took the bologna out of the sandwich. Ate the bologna. They ate the lettuce. Ate the tomato. Ate the bread. I caught more fish. Anything I'd put. And you know, son, it seems like the older I get, it seems like I just open this reservoir of truth here and start jumping out at me and jumping out at me and jumping out at me. And I say, man, I can't wait on Sunday. I got to get in there and tell them what I just learned. That's what Jesus did. That's what leadership is. That's what the successful coach does. That's what the successful teacher does. That's what the mom that relates to her daughter does. That's what the dad that relates to his son does. That's what the preacher that relates to his people does. Always new and it's always fresh. That's what real leadership is. And that's the reason Jesus is so exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, this matter of serving God can be a great exploration. It can be a great expedition where Jesus comes and says, I've got a book. I want to give you its truths. Somebody said, Brother Hans, I wish I'd gone to college. So I learned all the things about the Bible you learned. And that everything I learned in college, you could write it on a pinpoint about the Bible. I mean that. Well, my professors' outlines were so old, you could hardly read them. Nothing fresh, nothing exciting. They hadn't walked with God all night and come back and said, look, this is what God said to me. They hadn't lived in this book all night long and come back and said, that's God, I got something for you, fresh and new. I got something for you. That's why young preachers can outpreach old preachers. And by the way, that's one reason black preachers can outpreach white preachers too. There are a few exceptions. Man, I've preached with black preachers, and they didn't know it before they preached it. They learned it as they were reading it. I heard a fellow preach one night on it came to pass. He just looked in the Bible and said it came to pass. He said, bless God, it all comes to pass. Same preacher preached one night on my anyhow Savior. Anyhow Savior. I was a sinner, but he loved me anyhow. That's theology in his hand. But what is fresh to him? This was no mathematics book. It's a love story. A love story. Jesus comes and says, I want to take you on a trip, journey, take you on a trip. I want to teach you some things. Where are you going, Jesus? I'm going ahead for a little bit. Can we come? Not now. Not yet. I'll come back after a while and get you, though. As soon as I find out what's just ahead, I'll come back and I'll get you. But Jesus, I'm not as smart as Joe Combs is. I don't know the Bible like he does. Jesus, I'll take you the same. This is not a class. This is ACE. I'm omnipresent. I can be with everybody at the same time. And I can be talking to everybody about a different conversation every time. I'm come to get you where you are. And I'm going to be your private tutor. What you going to teach me? I don't know. I emptied myself. I want to go learn it myself first. And Jesus comes back and says, guess what I learned? It's fresh to him. It's hot, burning to him. Why? Because he who was omniscient emptied himself until he did not even know the hour or the day of his coming so that he could identify with us, so he could take the journey through the Bible and through the will of God with us as one of us. This morning he comes to you and says, let me take you. Let me take you through my book. Let me take you through life. Oh, there's a whole world out there waiting for you if you just knew it. Somebody said to the house, how do you get something to preach every Sunday? That's not my problem. My problem is knowing which one. I've got sermons over there all ready to go. You say, well, brother, sometimes I'll be preaching along here and wonder if I haven't preached it. I spent so much time working on it. I'll think, have I preached this? Oh, good night, good night. I preached this last Sunday morning because I was working on it. I'm like Mrs. Godfrey was. The choir works on a lot of specials. That's what happened last Sunday. That choir's working on a lot of specials all the time. And she just had to play the right one. The choir sang the wrong one. Preaching the same way. Oh, somehow, if I could just take you to the foot of the Savior and really make you realize how wonderful all this really is. I mean, what a book. What a book. And Jesus said, I'll teach it to you. I'm going to go out a little ahead and learn some myself and then come back. Can you imagine the blessed Son of God sitting in a synagogue learning the Bible from a Jewish rabbi? Why? He emptied himself. He emptied himself. And there's a sweetness out yonder waiting for you. But that sweetness is never known until you come to him and take him. And once you take him, you enter on a great expedition, a great journey with Jesus as your guide. And he said, I'm going. You're going away? I'm going to go away. Can we go? We want to go, Daddy. Earlene had twins. And every time we'd spell something, you know how you spelled, so they'd say, I want to go. They always thought we were going to go somewhere when they spelled. So, I want to go. I want to go. And you take off for Texas, 1,000-mile trip, 5 minutes after takeoff. We there yet, Daddy? Jesus wants to take you on a trip. He wants to give you something fresh and something new. Nothing stale. It's always fresh and always new. I wish you'd stay in the book. I wish you'd stay on your knees. I wish you'd walk close to him. It's a wonderful journey. but you'll never take it till you start it. And you start it by a personal acceptance of Christ Jesus, of your Savior, and accepting His gift of eternal life. And then you start on a journey filled with fresh, new truths and manna from heaven every day, as He who wrote it empties Himself and then learns it again with you. Our Heavenly Father,